This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on the Starting Point class with Brother Tim Christensen. Brother Christensen assists Dr. Chapel with the daily administrative work of the church and the oversight of the construction on the campus.
John chapter 15, in verse number 16, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." That's what we want. And we know that not everyone will go the distance. You won't take everyone on the journey with you. That is the Christian life. Not everyone I get to lead to Christ gets baptized. Not all the ones I see get baptized go through the discipleship or the Starting Point class. But my heart is that I'm dissatisfied with not all of them growing to their full potential, because I know, number one, that would bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and bring Him pleasure. And number two, I know it would be best for them. And number three, I want to know that my investment counted for eternity in the lives of people. And leaders add people, but great leaders multiply people. And that's what we want to do. You don't multiply if they don't grow to the point where they're reaching others. And so that's our passion. That's, been a unique philosophy here that has been just it's been a drum that's been beat and beat and beat as far as discipling people and discipling. And I think there has been some thought that maybe folks that focus on discipleship don't focus on soul winning or evangelism. But I think you can do both. I think Jesus called us to do both in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And so what I appreciate about our pastor is that for all of these years, he has been passionate about leading as many people to Jesus Christ as he possibly can, but about seeing as many of them go the distance as he possibly can. And what we have felt over the years is that things like the Starting Point class have been tools and have created opportunities for us to see that take place. I believe more people remain, John 15, 16, because of the fact they have this class as a tool that we offer them. We've done new members orientation or training differently over the years. When I got here, the way the church did it was about every 3 or 4 months, they would have a brunch on a Saturday morning. And a member of the pastoral staff and Pastor Chapel would meet with the new members from the previous 3 to 4 months, cover a few things regarding doctrine and so forth, and that was the way they did it. The participation rate was less than optimum. We said, why don't we try a Sunday lunch? Because they're already here on Sunday, most of them. So let's just keep them after and have a lunch. So we did that for a few years, and that was an improvement over the Saturday morning orientation. It was a new member's luncheon. And so we served them lunch in the gym, then we dismissed their kids to another room where the children's director would work with them and do some activities, and then pastor spent an hour with the adults going through a PowerPoint presentation about the doctrine and philosophy of the church, and that helped. And then a few years ago, we really felt like we needed something more and something that would allow us to cover some more ground to spend some more time with pastor and them. And our pastor has a grueling schedule. He preaches at 8:30 and 11 on Sunday mornings. And then when we have the Starting Point class, he will speak back-to-back 3 times in a row. 8:30, a passionate sermon for 40 minutes. 11 o'clock, an hour-long class, or 10 o'clock, an hour-long class, Starting Point class. And then at 11 o'clock, he'll preach again. And it's taxing, but he feels like the return on investment is so, so important in their lives that he's willing to do that. And so I would encourage you, this Starting Point class, I think we've been doing it like this for about 2.5 to 3 years, and God has really, really blessed it. Let me show you a video. As I watched this video in church during the Up Next video about 3 weeks ago, or maybe 5 weeks ago, I thought I should show this to the guys who attend this session. So we'll play this, and then we will proceed with the outline, okay? Thank you, Travis. You know what? I don't have the audio hooked up. 1 second.
If you're new to our church,
I want you to hear it from the speakers, not from here. I almost never do audio, but I do PowerPoint in these classrooms all the time. So I forgot to hook up that cable. Let's try it. I'll get the volume ready just in case. You might want to hold your hands over your ears just in case. Let's see.
You may be wondering where you fit in.
Let me back it up so you hear that first line.
If you are new to our church in recent days, you may be wondering where you fit in. Even the word church can be...
If you don't know what an up next video is, it's what we've been showing at the conference. We do that every Sunday at the end of the services, in the morning services. After the invitation, when the invitation concludes, we watch this while the baptisms are prepared. And it's always got Rakia or some other gal on the staff welcoming folks to Sunday and letting them know, here's some coming events, just like we've done for the conference, okay?
Wildly different things to different people. We want to answer these questions by looking at what the Bible teaches. In the three-week class, Starting Point, you will hear our pastor teach the core beliefs of the Christian faith and how God has designed his church. And if you have questions at the end of a lesson, you will have the opportunity to ask Pastor Chapel a question about our beliefs and practices. Find out how you fit into this great family. You can register today at Guest Services.
Besides registering at guest services, we also encourage the folks through email and phone calls to register as well. We'll talk about that as we move through the outline, okay? Let's talk first of all about understanding the importance of the class. Let me tell you why I feel like it's so important that we have a class like this or some way of accomplishing what we're trying to accomplish in this class, okay? And by the way, I will try to see if I can get that video posted on Ministry 127 so you can share it with staff or use it in your church. I think he said Pastor Chapel, didn't he? Maybe you can just kind of voice over that part and Smith, you know, Jones. So understand the importance of the class, several reasons. Letter A, it allows the newest people to get to know the pastor. Most of you can identify with this, if you've served in your church for much length of time or if you've experienced any growth, that there's usually a honeymoon stage in a church plan or in a new pastor's tenure at a church where kind of everybody knows everybody and everybody knows the pastor and there's a lot of relational connection and everybody has a capacity on that. And one of the reasons churches face numerical growth barriers is that people don't get connected to the pastor. Now, Pastor Chapel doesn't have the time or energy to fellowship with everyone in the church family. That's just not realistic. That would put a cap on how many folks we could reach and train. So this is a way, though, for him to give 3 hours, 3 weeks to the newest group of people. And usually it's about like the size of the group of men in this room right here, right now. And we do it in a room about this size. And so they feel they have an opportunity to ask questions. They have an opportunity to talk to him after class. So it allows them to get to know the pastor in a different, smaller, less formal setting than the worship service. Okay. Secondly, it allows the pastor to get to know the newest people. They wear name tags, and he works on names. And at the end of the 3 weeks, he doesn't know all of them by name, you know, without the help of some reminders or name tags, but he knows many of them, and certainly many more than he would have had he not spent 3 weeks with them, because he shakes their hands before and after the class, he talks to them, he takes their questions, he looks at their name tags, and he hears staff guys mention their names in men's prayer and things of that nature. And so he gets to know the newest people. And honestly, that's encouraging to him. Because knowing those fresh stories of conversions and faith and growth is a great encouragement to him about what God's doing in the church he leads. Third, it answers the common questions of newer people. Most newer people have similar questions. They have questions about the children's program. They have questions about doctrine. They have questions about what's next for me. If they're totally unchurched, they've never been here before and they need guidance and they don't know what they're supposed to do next necessarily, but they're looking for the folks who've introduced them to Christ to give them some guidance. And of course, we see the first century Christians doing that for their converts. That's what they took them under their wing and they helped them along. And so it answers a lot of the common questions. Some of the questions are about Christian growth. Some of the questions are very practical. Some of the questions relate to something they experienced in another church, something bad maybe they experienced. We've all faced that where people come into the church and they have some type of church background, and a lot of times it's a Baptist background maybe, but they have some baggage with them because of past experiences or past difficulties. And one of the things this class does is if a person is somewhat cynical about, I don't know if I want to get burned again, or I don't know if I want to try church again or come back to church, a lot of them come away from this class that fit in that category, which is a small percentage. They come away from that class really excited about their new church and really thankful that this is the way I was hoping it could be, about a healthy, biblical, balanced ministry. So it answers common questions. Next, it provides the opportunity to define our doctrine and philosophy. We've all been there where we're doing ministry life with someone, and you know, 6 months or 18 months into it, we realize we are not on the same page. And this basically gives us an opportunity to kind of unload the truck and throw the doors wide open and say, here's what we're about. Let's get over it now and deal with it now and answer the tough questions now, as opposed to 6 or 18 months from now when you're a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or you have 27 friends that you're connected to. If you get sideways then, you affect a lot more people than if you get sideways now. You've been here for 6 weeks. So it provides an opportunity to define our doctrine and philosophy to the new members. By the way, I'll mention this later. We invite the newest members of the church plus anyone who's been visiting the church in recent weeks. Both groups are invited to this class, okay? Next, it brings potential problems to the surface earlier. Someone is committed to speaking in tongues, we're going to find out in this class. Or someone is got some other type of baggage or an agenda, it's going to come to the surface in this class, okay? Someone has a complaint or criticism, they're going to become an antagonist at some point. They're going to probably do that in this first or second week of this class during the question and answer time, and all of a sudden, red flags, and you can start kind of managing that issue, okay? Secondly, let's talk about the groups to target for the class. First of all, new members who've joined since the last class. New members who've joined since the last class. Yes, sir?
You have a letter E that's blank on the sheet.
Oh, sorry. Let's see here. Define our doctrine and philosophy, and then letter E. Oh, this is an important one. It establishes heightened expectations for new members. I love this. You get to set the bar on what you expect of them then. And we all have people in our church maybe that we inherited or that they're set in their ways, and we wish we could kind of jostle them out of their complacency or their non-commitment. Well, this class gives us an opportunity with people who are fresh and new and energized and happy to be here, and God's doing great things in their lives. It gives you an opportunity to set the bar where you want to set it as far as church attendance, soul winning. Now, do all the people that finish this class go soul winning every week immediately and come to all the services every week immediately? No, but pastor gets to paint a vision for that for them in this class, sets expectations of them. And most people don't go over those hurdles of spiritual growth, of getting into discipleship, getting in an adult class, and all those things. Most of them don't do that, not because they're not interested in doing it, but because no one really took a map out and showed them biblically, according to these scriptural principles, here's where you ought to be headed the next several months and years in your Christian life. And people that are new and God's doing something in their heart, they wouldn't be in that class if God wasn't giving you favor in their heart. And by seeing that class, they're giving you permission to take that map out and show them, and you have a level of influence in their life that you may not have 18 months from now, and paint the vision and show them from the Bible and in your notes that you pass out for the class where things are headed. You received the covenant when you came in to the class today. Can I borrow yours, Mark? This is a way of setting the bar for them. We're defining in this covenant in 9 points where the bar is on what it means to be a part of the Lancaster Baptist Church family. Most church members, they kind of see membership at church like they see membership at Costco or like at 24-hour fitness. They're members, but that just means they go when they get around to it or when they've made a resolution or when they're low on high volume toilet paper and vitamins. You know what I mean? That's Costco if you didn't get the analogy. So this gets us to basically, this allows us to say to people, membership in a biblical church is a big deal. And what we're calling you to is not what Costco calls you to or your country club that you belong to calls you to or that the Elks Club calls you to. What we're calling you to is right off the pages of Scripture, and it's inspiring and it's where God's calling you to go. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit will be working in their lives, confirming that with them. So it establishes heightened expectations. I'll say this by kind of a side note there next to letter E. It increases our retention rate. I don't have the exact mathematical statistics, but suffice it to say that of all the people who are added to the Lancaster Baptist Church family, if you fast forward 9 months, whether they participated in the Starting Point class dramatically increases the odds of them being around. Amen. 9 months later. Dramatically. So we feel like if we can get them to this class, it's an important part. Is it important in the first few weeks of a child's life that they get nourishment? Of course. Does it impact their ability to live? Yes. And so it is with new Christians, okay? So who we target? First of all, new members who have joined since the last class. We do the class 3 times a year. If a church could do it more often than that, I think it would be great. But 3 times a year is how often we do it. And we invite everyone who's joined since the last class. If people joined before the last class but didn't go to the last class, we'll enjoy that. We'll invite them as well. So we had a block of classes in November, and then we had a block of classes in February, March, and then now we had a block of classes in May, June, and mostly in May. And so in May, when we were inviting those people to that class, we went back to February and invited everyone who joined the church since the last class, and we went back to November and invited everyone who had joined in those months but who didn't go to the February, March block of classes. Or if they went to week 1 and week 3 but missed week 2, we invited them to week 2 this time. We have a secretary who keeps records of attendance of this class, and she knows that she's going to invite the Smith family who joined in December but went to the Starting Point class in February but missed week number 2. She's going to invite them to week number 2 in June, and it works. And so we invite new members who've joined since the last class. Secondly, we invite recent guests who have not yet joined the church. In our churches are a pool of people who have been attending, but they haven't yet crossed the line of membership. They've been saved and not scripturally baptized, or they've been saved and baptized, but they haven't just decided whether they're going to make this church their church home yet. And in our churches, we have that pool of people. And what I love about this class usually gets them off the fence. And it usually gets them off the fence on the side of becoming a part of the family, okay? Sometimes it gets them off the fence and we part ways. And usually that's because of a doctrinal difference. Usually it's a doctrinal difference that has to do with the charismatic movement or eternal security or something of that nature. But most of the time, people have been hanging around and attending. And what this does is I get the list of people that are participating in this class, and I know which ones of them have joined and which ones of them haven't. And I and Brother Firstone, Brother Rule, and our adult Bible fellowship teachers, we get that list, and we just basically lovingly pester those people about why not come on board on week number 2 or 3 of this class. You're attending the class. You're getting your questions answered. Let's go ahead and take that step of baptism now, or why don't you go ahead and take the step of joining the church. So we invite those, and it is a great net to throw out to kind of pull them into the boat of membership who have not yet taken that step. And we don't need to feel goofy or insecure about doing that. Don't we believe that being a part of the body of Christ locally is an important thing? And don't we believe that's an important part of their ability to thrive spiritually? Yes. Yeah, so let's not hesitate to encourage them to take that step. Next, preparing to conduct the class. I'm going to give you several steps here, okay? I think 10 of them. Letter A. Include a statement about the required class in your membership welcome materials and as a part of your baptism process. Now, let me explain that. People ask the question, how do you receive members? We receive members like most of your churches do. Someone, if they're saved and baptized in a Baptist church previously, and they would like to unite with our church, someone, either a deacon or a member of the pastoral staff, sits down with them and hears their testimony of salvation and finds out where they were baptized. That deacon or pastoral staff member gives them this little booklet. This is Welcome Aboard. I think you can get this at Ministry 127. And Welcome Aboard talks about our purpose and our statement of beliefs and the Baptist distinctives and how do I become a member, and it explains how I become a member. And then in the back is our transfer form. So this is our membership transfer form. Someone tears it out, brings it forward with a deacon or a pastoral staff member who's met with them, and then this is form is handed to pastor. Pastor introduces them, the church votes, and then we send a letter of request to their former church if it's a transfer. And they become a member then. What we did when we started really sensing the importance of the class and the covenant, though, was we basically created kind of a notation in our church management software where we could notate whether they have completed the class and signed the covenant yet. And so those people become members in the philosophical sense and in the spirit of membership. They can receive the Lord's table and, you know, all the rights and privileges of membership. But in our church management software, they're notated as an associate member until they complete the class, sign the covenant. Now we remove that word associate from it. Now they're a member. The reason for that is several reasons, but mainly it's to ensure and to protect the unity of the church and to protect the church from antagonists who would come into the church without going through a class like this and signing a covenant like that. And so there are antagonists who bring legal issues against churches. There are antagonists who bring moral issues against churches and want, you know, a same-sex couple to go to a couples retreat or something of that nature. And this is our way of kind of holding the membership privilege to those who have really understood what we believe, how we operate, and what we expect of them. Yes, sir. Rich? No problem.
What about a church vote? How do you distinguish that if you have a business meeting, for instance?
When we receive members?
Church members vote in my church.
Oh,
how
yeah.
How do you distinguish that?
We, you know, most votes around here are like, you know, we don't vote a lot compared to other churches, number one. Number two, we vote on the budget every January.
Sure.
And it's like usually unanimous ratification. So we don't. We'd get too concerned about it. But if the church ever had an issue and some turmoil built and we actually had to do a vote where the percentage kind of matters, we would figure out who are the associate members and who are the members, you know, and we would make sure the associate members' votes, you know, were not counted. But we've never been in that position, and of course hope we don't, but it does protect us in that regard. Next, letter B. Before I go to letter B, in this transfer book, it says, how do I become a member? It says, your membership is finalized upon completion of our new members class, which periodically meets throughout the year. Someone from the church office will contact you regarding this helpful class. So that little statement's there. When people are baptized, the personal workers who help them with their baptism tell them, now you'll be invited to the Starting Point class. It's coming up in a few weeks, and make sure that's on your calendar, and we'll look forward to that at that time. And I just mentioned the membership. When someone comes forward and we vote for someone who's been saved and scripturally baptized, also when someone is baptized here after their conversion, they become a member here as well, like probably most of your churches. But still, again, it's an associate caliber membership, and then once they complete the class and the covenant, then we remove that word associate, and they're a member. So that's how that works. Letter B. Before the class, advertise the class for 3 straight weeks in the bulletin and in your announcements. Most of our churches could stand for less announcements, by the way. And sometimes what I think would be maybe the most important announcement of the week, like this, could be muddied and diluted by all of the other announcements we're making about potlucks and all the rest of it. So I think most of our churches could stand for less announcements, but this is one announcement that I would say 3 weeks in a row leading up to the class, this is an important part of your strategy for getting people to come along in their faith. We put it in the up next video as well, of course. By the way, we do a response card. We've tried a lot of things as far as getting visitor information out of the people in the pews. And the thing that we've enjoyed seeing the success of the last several years is we just go ahead and put a visitor card in every bulletin. It's not a visitor card, though. It's a response card. and we hope everyone will fill it out. It's a place for anybody to write a prayer request on. And on that response card, there's always things to register for in the back. People can ask for more information about salvation or baptism on that card. That's always there every week. But also coming events. Somebody can register their child for basketball camp or for junior camp on that card. Someone can also say, register me for the Starting Point class starting on May 17th. They can check that and then turn that in. So we have people who come to this class who responded to an email, who said yes from a phone call, who checked it on the response card, who signed up at guest services. And so we put the word out and get folks to let us know they want to be involved. Next. Host a reception. This is not part of the Starting Point class, but this is one way we get the word out about the Starting Point class. Host a reception with refreshments for recent guests 2 weeks before the class and distribute invites. Okay. This is not the Starting Point class, so I don't want you to get confused, but this is one thing we do about every 3 to 4 months. We especially time what I'm about to tell you about. We time these in conjunction with a week or two after a big day like Easter or Christmas. We have what we call coffee and biscotti with Pastor Chapel. We stole the idea from somebody else, and you can steal it from us. No hard feelings whatsoever, because we stole it ourselves. So we put this card in the bulletin, or we hand it to people, inviting them to coffee and biscotti. A biscotti is like a really super dry biscuit, okay? People who like coffee like biscotti sometimes. We have other pastries for people with taste buds. So this invites people to that. We also put this on up next. And basically, this is a way, again, in a growing church where the volume of people is becoming larger, that people can be reminded, the pastor still wants to get to know you. A lot of people have the mentality that in a church of any larger than average size, 500, 800, some people have the mentality that of a church, once it gets past a couple hundred people, it's kind of just like impersonal, and the pastor comes out on stage and does his thing and then goes backstage and nobody sees him before or after. This is our way of saying, hey, in spite of the fact this is a larger church than maybe you're used to, the pastor really wants to get to know you as a newcomer. And so we have a room, the choir room. Most of you know where that's at. We set it up with coffee and biscotti and pastries after the service, and pastor just spends 45 minutes there, and the pastoral staff come and help him. We've had people get saved in that room before, and that couple with the piercings and stuff, they met Pastor Chapel in that room. And he just, you know Pastor Chapel, he's meeting him, he's being kind, and he goes, you know, you need to marry this girl and get that metal out of your face. And the guy knew he loved him when he told him that. And that was on the video last night. That was at a coffee and biscotti when he met that couple. And at the coffee and biscotti, we give them an invite to the Starting Point class. And we say, since you're new here, here's a class coming up in a few weeks that you'll enjoy. Okay? Next. Email, call, and invite the following groups. What do your notes say? Does your notes give 4 different groups?
Yes.
Okay. Those who've joined the church since the last class, those who've joined prior to the last class but missed a class, I already covered all this, those who've visited the church in recent months, and those who attend Sunday school but have not yet joined the church. Good? Got all your blanks filled? That's important. Next, prepare notebooks for the class. Let's send these clipboards through the sections. If you want me to email you PDFs of what we pass out in the class, and who wouldn't want that, right? If you want me to email it to you, if you'll put your name and your email address, and if I can't read it, I can't send it, so, and then the name of your ministry. So write down your name, write down the name of the ministry where you serve, and then write down your email address. Is that the 3 columns, Brother Fox? Okay, I'll email those to you within the next 10 days, okay? Prepare notebooks for the class. People take the class more seriously when they walk in. They get a notebook like this. It's got the first week's lesson in it. It's got some handouts. And then each week when they come back, they check in and they get the second week's notes, and it's punched and ready for their notebook, okay? Next, arrange for select staff and deacons to help host the class. I'm going to kind of move quickly and come back from questions a little later, okay? Next, prepare pre-printed name tags for all who RSVP. And then we have blank name tags handy because some people just show up for the class because they heard about it. They did not RSVP. And of course, they're welcome. Next, send reminder emails and make reminder phone calls. to the people that have expressed interest in the class. Next, set up a check-in table with the secretary to distribute the materials and to take attendance. That way you know who attended, who you're following up on, etc. Next, provide refreshments for the class. Okay, next point. Here are the content to cover in the class. Here's what we cover. First week, we cover the story of our church. What we're trying to accomplish in this first week is we're basically wanting the newcomers to get to know us personally. We want them, regardless of their background, religiously, we're trying to help them kind of discover what makes us tick, what makes our church unique. We want them to know how we feel about what's important in our church. And here's the great thing. We want them to conclude that it's all Bible-based. We want to tell them, here's how we tick, here's how we operate, here's kind of what's important to us. It's a 10-point lesson where Pastor just talks about, here's some core values of our church. And he talks about the fact that the church is doctrinally conservative. Talks about the fact that the church is passionate about personal soul winning, and he talks about that. He talks about the fact that it's a missions-minded church, and he mentions how most people wouldn't know that we have a missions program there in their first several months here. But he talks about the fact that he talks about our missions program and so on and so forth. We believe the Christian life's a holy life, things of that nature. Really, and it gives them some scripture. Every point has some scripture behind it, and he's able to kind of talk them through that in a way that helps them to know, number one, that's a reasonable way to be, and number two, that's a scriptural way to be. The reason this church operates like they do is they're trying their best to follow the Bible. Every week we have handouts. We give them the church calendar on week number one. Are these in your notes? Good. So this is what our church calendar looks like. I'll leave it up here later. We print it. We give it to the whole church the first Sunday of January or the last Sunday of December, depending on how the calendar falls. And then we give it to the new members on week number one. We give them the church constitution. I did not bring that. But the church constitution is like 30-some pages, and I'll tell you what we use. We use the CLA template word for word. So if you say, well, I want to update my church constitution, and most church constitutions are worthy of updating. CLA has the template you want, okay? Word for word. We just took out, they have a template where you just put your proper names in, okay? And that's the church constitution. Next, school brochure. We give them a brochure for Lancaster Baptist School, and that way we're already planting the seeds for these folks about maybe enrolling their children in the school, okay? We give them that the first week. The other thing we give them the first week is the 25th anniversary book. For those of you that are Leadership Conference veterans, you know that this is what we gave out 2 years ago on our church's anniversary. And so we always order, several hundred extras. And so we give them this. We say this, we gave this to the church a couple years ago, but you weren't here yet. This kind of tells you the story and the history of Lancaster Baptist Church. You know they read this when they get home. And you might not have a hardback 200-page one, but you have something you can give them that kind of tells them a little bit about the history of your church, or maybe you can develop something that gives them the history of your church. Pastor shows them PowerPoint slides during the first lesson in his introduction about kind of the history of the church and the old building and his family and all that. Next, week two is the beliefs of our church. Basically, we walk through the fundamental doctrines, inspiration of scriptures, deity of Christ, salvation by grace through faith, etc. And we walk through those doctrinal points, and we cover the Baptist distinctives, the Baptist acrostic, Bible authority, autonomy of the church, etc. That second week, we give them a life stage brochure that lists all the adult Bible fellowships, and Pastor tells them, I hope you'll join one of these when you leave this class. Some of them are already in one, and they stepped away from that class to attend Starting Point. We give them a discipleship interest card. We give them J.M. Carroll's Trail of Blood, which is a history of Bible believers throughout the Dark Ages and church history. We give them a little leaflet that is called Baptists Are Not Protestants. It kind of, because a lot of people come into our church and they've attended a community church or a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church or a Bible church or whatever, and they go, what is a Baptist? And these are things that help them answer that question biblically. We make available to them, if they like, on a back table, We make available to them a number of books. We make available Dr. Willett's book on why we use the King James Bible. It's called A More Sure Word. We also make available for them the book by Mike Gass, A Glorious Church, which is a great study of Baptist history if they're new to what we're all about. And we just feel like, again, those are just investments to make. If you invest $20 in resources into somebody who's kind of coming on strong in their interest in the church and they pan out, talk about a return on investment. That's $20 well spent, okay? Number three, the purpose of our church. Week number three, what we're trying to accomplish here is this week is the purpose of our church. We go through these three points: loving God, growing together, and serving others. You've seen those three icons probably in our ministry somewhere. Loving God, growing together, serving others. That's our three-point purpose statement, and Pastor spends 40 minutes teaching through it. And that lesson kind of follows this covenant. And if someone said, Tim, show me a roadmap of what it means when you say, I'm a new member and you want me to grow spiritually. Okay, love God, grow together, serve others. And here's what we mean by that. And here's how you do that practically. And that's really a great way to paint the picture for folks going forward. We want to let them know what we're trying to accomplish and how that translates to their role. We want to see them working their way through kind of the ministry purpose statement, which is really a kind of a more of a progress or process statement. That third week, we also give them a ministry survey. This ministry survey asks them about different fields they have experience in or areas of ministry they're interested in serving in. We don't place them in a volunteer ministry until they've become a member and in many cases been discipled, but it lets us know that they have experience in IT or plumbing or painting, or they'd be interested in helping serve meals. Because of the feedback we get on this, it all goes into our church management software. Because of the feedback we get on this, we use that like for an event like Leadership Conference. We pull out the records. Anyone who's ever said they would be interested in serving food, and we call them out to serve food this week. And anyone who said they'd like to be involved in landscaping, and they've been working quite diligently around here the last few weeks. So that's ministry survey. We give them giving envelopes that week because one of the ways we love God is by worshiping Him through our tithes and offerings. And so He talks through that when He teaches the lesson. We give them a little paperback book printed by Striving Together that Pastor Chappell wrote called Living on God's Economy. And that's a little paperback that is a very good resource to give to someone who maybe is new to the idea of giving or tithing. And we give them the membership covenant. Week number four, the structure of the church. We want them to know how we operate. Depending on what kind of a denominational structure their parents were involved in or what kind of civic organizations they're familiar with, they may have no idea how a New Testament church operates. And we tell them how the church operates. And it's during this class that people realize what a kind of a pastor-led church is and what do deacons do and so forth. So I think that lesson has 4, 5, 6 points, and one of the first point is Christ is the head of the church, and we talk about Christ being preeminent. Second point is the pastor is the shepherd, the under-shepherd in the church, and he talks about the role of the pastor. How great for him to be able to define his role for them early on in the process. Point number three is the deacons serve the church family. He talks about how deacons serve, and in that point, he talks about how the deacons meet each month and how they review the charts of accounts and how they work on the budget, every line of the budget and so forth. And it gives people a sense that, wow, there's a body of deacons here that are serving to help, but they're also involved and they're a body of people who are working behind the scenes to help this ministry operate with integrity and excellence and so forth. The next point, I believe, is that the adult classes are how we meet needs in the church family. And so in that last point of adult classes, we talk about how that a lot of the counseling, a lot of the care, a lot of the visitation, a lot of the hospital support happens through the adult Bible classes, and that helps people understand maybe why an adult Bible leader might meet with them or visit them in the hospital instead of the senior pastor if he's not able to. And he makes hospital visits and counsels folks, but there's just, you know this, there's only so much of that you can do, okay? That's the structure of the church. That week, we give them the church financial policy. This is not the church's, we have volumes of internal policies. This is just the public 7-point biblical policy on how we handle finances. I'll leave that up here. We also give them the little book, Your Pastor and You, which is a Striving Together product, which helps them define the relationship with their pastor. Okay? Number 6, how to effectively conduct the class. Effectively conducting the class. First of all, effectively communicate with the class participants. Collect RSVPs, remind them by phone, email and call them. If they miss the class, thank them for participating. So between week 1 and week 2, they get an email that says, thank you for coming to week number 1, blah, blah, blah. We hope to see you back at week number 2, okay, and so forth. Number 5, remind them all by phone prior to each week. When people are new, we just feel like we need to over-communicate with them, and I think that yields a higher participation rate. Were there any blanks in 1 through 5 for you? Good, because I want to go a little faster on those subpoints. Next, arrange for select staff to assist in hosting the weekly class. And we have different staff who are in there to help, and oftentimes someone will have a question and pastor will ask the staff to help answer that. Next, invite select deacons to greet the class and to pray weekly. Each week, they are able to meet a deacon in the church, and that deacon gives his testimony briefly to them and prays that God will bless them. And it's a good way of the deacons being encouraged about what God's doing in their church, and a good way for folks to put a face with the name of what a deacon is. Next, provide free resources at a book table on frequently asked questions. I told our office manager about 2 hours ago, I said, we should take the Striving Together display, the mini book display, and we should just put that in the Starting Point class in the back of the room, because that's a lot of the questions these folks have about these current issues. But we also have, like I mentioned, several other books there. Mrs. Chappell's written 2 books, pastor's written many books, and we have a lot of those there. And usually he'll hold 1 or 2 of them up in a class period and let them know, if you'd like a copy of this, this is what this book is about. And if you'd like to take a copy, you can receive one today. It's our gift to you. And so he does that. Next, after week 2 or 3, meet individually with those who have not yet joined to encourage them to take the necessary step. Next, ask them to return the signed covenant on week number 4. Next, take time for questions at the end of each week's lesson. Letter H, remind people to participate in the new members' reception on week number 4. I haven't mentioned this yet. On the 4th week, in the evening service, we ask them to come back, check in the lobby on their way in, get another name tag, enjoy the church service, and then we give pastor a list after the altar call of everyone who checked in the lobby, and then he reads their names, and they come across the front of the church. If you were here on Sunday, you saw us do that. We do that every 3 to 4 months, and they line up at the front, and again, that's a great encouragement to the church family, and then we give them a standing ovation and welcome them to the church, and it gives them, a lot of them get tears running down their cheeks, and it makes them thankful for all these people that are clapping for them, and they're happy they're a part of the body, and then we have cake and coffee and punch in the gymnasium afterwards. So that's a nice, nice touch, okay? Next. Invite all class participants to a meal for fellowship with pastoral staff. We don't do this every time, but it's a great idea. And so I included it in the notes. Okay? And we did do that for years with the one way we did the class, but I would encourage you to consider a meal on a Sunday afternoon, maybe on week 3 or week 2, something like that. Next, take photos of class participants for use internally and on a public bulletin board. So we don't do this now, but we used to, for probably 20 years, have a bulletin board in one of the buildings around the campus where a lot of traffic goes, with the pictures of the newest members. And it helps people associate names and faces, and it's just a constant encouragement to the faithful church family that God continues to add to the body. Following up after the class.
host a new members reception. Letter B, follow up on those who've expressed interest in discipleship. Next, follow up on those who've expressed interest in ministry involvement. Next, follow up on those who have yet to submit their membership covenant. Usually what we'll do is we'll send them a PDF copy and an email saying, thanks for participating in the class. We didn't get a chance to collect your membership covenant on the final week. If you have an opportunity to sign this and return it to guest services, we'd appreciate that this Sunday. And if they don't do that, then we let their adult teacher know, hey, the Smith family in your class, they haven't turned in the covenant. It might just be that they, you know, lost it, or maybe they have a question or an issue that they want to get clarification on. Can you follow up with them and help us get that covenant collected? I'm sorry?
Execution squad?
Something like that. No, no, no. Letter E, ensure that participants connect with an adult Bible fellowship for ongoing growth. One of the really important administrative steps is once the class ends, if it had 54 family units attending it, did those 54 family units find an adult Bible fellowship the next Sunday? And if they do, that's a key to their future success.